Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, the new Iranian ambassador to Ireland has been prevented from officially taking up their duties by the Department of Foreign Affairs because of the regime's response to protests in Iran. A planned formal ceremony to accredit the ambassador at Oras an Uachtaráin this morning was postponed. The move followed a decision by the Department of Foreign Affairs, who deemed it, quote, inappropriate to accredit the new ambassador given the situation in Iran at present. It comes as the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Helen McEntee, is in the Middle East this afternoon with confirmation that this state will provide €42 million in aid to the Palestinian people this year. And in the past few minutes, I spoke to Helen McEntee, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade from Jordan, and she began asking her what she had seen at the Rafah crossing to Gaza in Egypt, where she had been earlier today.
Well, look, before I went to the Rafah crossing, I had an opportunity to visit one of the aid centres. And if I could say, maybe the first thing that struck me was that so many of the people working there, they're volunteers, they're young men and women who are working day and night, packaging aid, putting it together, putting the labelling on it, because everything has to have labels before it can go in. And they're working to make sure that as much of that aid that's coming from all over the world can be brought into Gaza as soon as possible. I suppose the frustration that was very clear from them is the fact that on any given day, they're not always clear what might get through and what might not. And I was able to see, the stockpiles of food and the freezers where medicines are being stored. But I also saw a part of the aid centre where there's simply things that are not getting through. So wheelchairs, because there's metal in them. So oxygen tanks because of what they're in. Snakes and ladder boards for children, children's toys, because of the containers that they're in. So there's a huge level of frustration within the team because of the fact that there are very basic, simple items that are needed for people who are very sick, but also for children to have a normal childhood, and they're not getting through. At the same time, they're extremely positive. They're positive because of the fact that they know the aid that is getting in, it's going directly to people and it's helping them now. What they've said to me very clearly, and I saw this then when I went to Rafah, so this is the border crossing essentially between Egypt and Gaza, is that they have the capacity to bring in up to 600 plus trucks full of food, humanitarian materials, medical supplies every day, but some days it could be as low as 100. And what they're saying very clearly is that they need to get more aid in. There are people quite literally who are dying of starvation because they're not getting access to the food. There are people who are dying in hospitals because they're not getting the medicines that they need because they're not crossing quick enough. So, my objective there today was to announce €42 million of funding, or to commit to those wonderful organisations €42 million of funding for this year. They're UN organisations, they're the Red Crescent, they're all of these groups that are working on the ground, but also to show solidarity and support, and to make sure that they know that Ireland is with them, that we support them, and that we will do everything that we can to highlight what's happening on the ground. There needs to be more access opened up, more people need to be able to get in and out, and more aid needs to be contributed to these fantastic organisations.
And Israel's not minded to let UNRWA operate in either Gaza or the West Bank. Ireland has just committed €20 million to UNRWA, which is a key aid agency for Palestinians. So is there any effort in play to allow UNRWA access while this peace board has been talked about? It's been seen almost as an alternative rather than a complement to the UN agencies Ireland supports.
So this is a big problem. It's a huge problem. UNRWA, which is the UN agency, it is the main source of support and aid for people in Gaza and for the Palestinian people. There's been a huge amount of pushback from Israel. In fact, they are and have put in place so many barriers and restrictions that it is making it impossible for UNRWA to do their work. However, at the same time, they're working closely with other organisations. They're, insofar as they can, they're repackaging, they're putting in place ways in which the aid that they are able to provide can get into Gaza. But I mean, this is just slowing things down. This is making things much more difficult. And all the while, I mean, I met people today who have lost almost 400 colleagues. These are volunteers. These are people who are working on the ground to try and save others, while at the same time being called terrorists and being prevented from doing their work. So today I called very clearly for our colleagues, for my colleagues, for our international partners to speak out, to speak up, to do everything that we can to reinforce their position in Gaza on the ground to make sure, and they do, can I say, the support of over 150 countries across the world that support the work of UNRWA, but we need to make sure that that message is getting across to Israel. Okay. And again, that's where the US is so important. That's where their voice comes in, and that's why their engagement with the EU and with us is absolutely vital in this regard.
I want to move on to Iran, because there's been EU sanctions on Iran since 2011. They were introduced in response to, in the EU's words, serious human rights violations in the country. The sanctions have been renewed annually since then, last extended until the 13th of April 2026. Ireland shares the concerns of other EU countries on what's going on in Iran at the moment. Death toll estimates in the thousands at this stage. Would Ireland call for the extension of those sanctions beyond April 2026?
Yes, is the honest answer, but it's something that we have to do in unison with our EU colleagues. And I'm currently talking to my colleagues, foreign ministers from across the EU, as to what we do next. I mean, we need to look at this and try and see what will actually help here. And the challenge we face is that we don't know exactly what is happening. I mean, you mentioned reports of thousands of people being killed. We have reports of over 600. We've reports of over 6,000.
An Iranian official quoted in the media today says 2,000. There are estimates from Iranian human rights organizations that say it could be greater than 6,000. There's 10,000 people arrested. I mean, Iran doesn't accept the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. It rejects the International Court of Justice's jurisdiction in domestic issues. So on top of the sanctions that are there, which haven't been effective to date, what can be done to hold people accountable for what's going on? What can be done to resolve the situation?
Well, there are a number of things here. And again, I say this having spoken to colleagues on the ground here in the region. There is a concern that if force is used or if there is an outside intervention, that it could actually escalate things within the region here, that it could actually make things much more difficult for the people in Iran, but also for the neighbouring countries. And so we have to think very carefully about what we do next and how we engage. But you're right, Iran is not engaging with the international community. They have blacked out completely any access to what is happening. And I mean, we all share the view that they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't trying to hide something. So we have to engage. We have to try and encourage Iran to engage. And if that means sanctions, if it means moving in other ways to bring them to the table, then absolutely that's what Ireland is open to. We're very clear. And as you mentioned, we're very aware of the international human rights that are being breached on a daily basis there. We're hearing it from people on the ground in Ireland. And we need them to know, the Iranian people in Ireland and in Iran, that they have our support and that we will stand up for them. And we will take action with our European and international partners if that's what needs to happen.
One of the options would be, of course, to call in the Iranian ambassador to the Department of Foreign Affairs and let them know about the displeasure of the Irish government. But there has been a decision made by your department to postpone the ceremony of credentials for the Iranian ambassador. Why?
Well, firstly, I would say that this has already happened, and this is something that I asked to happen earlier this week. And I and we as a government have made our dissatisfaction and our views known to the ambassador. The decision to postpone, I think, is a very clear response to the fact that, I mean, we do not know what
for
is
how long,
in Iran.
Though, because there have been similar situations in Iran in 2011 when the sanctions were instituted by the EU. In 2019, there was a crackdown on demonstrations. In 2022, there was a crackdown on demonstrations. Why now and for how long?
Well, I think it was the appropriate thing to do. And I think it is appropriate given what we are hearing and what we are seeing, or the little of what we are seeing in Iran. We need to be very clear in condemning the actions that we are seeing, condemning any killing of protesters in Iran. And I believe that this was the right thing to do. And this was an important way to send that message.
Is it about sparing the country's blushes? Sorry to cut across you, though. Is it about sparing the country's blushes of an Iranian ambassador being pictured with the President of Ireland in Áras an Uachtaráin, and how that picture might be used perhaps in America?
Well, the decision was taken because we're not happy with what Iran is doing. I can't be any clearer than that. I don't think it was appropriate to have a credentials ceremony today when we know that there are people being killed on the street in Iran, when the government have put a complete blockade and cannot and are not allowing any form of communication communication in or out of the country. You would not be doing that if they had something or if they did not have something to hide. So I do not believe it was appropriate to have a ceremony today with an ambassador of a country where it seems they are defying and breaching international law, where they are killing protesters. And I think that's an important message to send. We've postponed it, but we need Iran to come to the international table. We need them to engage. We need them to lift the communications blockade. We need them to stop killing protesters, and we need them to engage. Okay, so we know that that has not been happening in the past,
but for how long?
I do believe because that this is a turning point and a changing point. If you listen to international partners, if you listen to colleagues across the world,
sure,
there's a very clear focus on Iran and what's happening there.
What's the plan to re-engage diplomatically with Iran? You know, the protesters will still be dead whenever you ultimately decide to allow this ambassador to present their credentials. So for how long will this postponement go on? Just until the current phase of violence dies down and the fuss goes away, or for longer than that? Is there a punitive aspect to it?
Well, look, I think we have to take this day by day. And I know that there are some people who would have a particular view or opinion if we don't agree with the country or what is happening, that we expel ambassadors, that we don't speak to them. But we have to keep diplomatic ties open. I mean, we have a team in Iran on the ground. We have a small, very small Irish community, but we have a team from my own department who are on the ground. And we need to make sure that they are safe, that we are working and engaging with them. And that is why you have to keep diplomatic ties open. But again,
okay, so
have to take this day by day. I am talking...
Is this more, though, about avoiding the photo opportunity that would be generated by the Iranian ambassador presenting their credentials, or actually an effective measure to stop Iran doing what it's doing?
Can I say to you, this is nothing about a photo opportunity or any kind of a photo. This is about Ireland as a country saying we are not happy with what is happening. We do not think it is appropriate to have a credential ceremony at the moment, because we do not support what your government and what your regime is doing, and we need to see change. Now, Ireland on its own will not be able to bring about that change, but Ireland, working with our European partners, and that's, as I've said, every single one of my colleagues, we're discussing at the moment at a European level, what can we do? How can we bring more pressure on Iran? How can we work with our international partners, with the US as well? But how can we make sure that we're not actually making things worse for people on the ground? Right. And again, the very real concern for people here in Egypt, for the region, is that we do not do something that would further create any escalation and that would actually create more damage and do more harm. So that is what we have to take into consideration. That's what I'll take into consideration while I'm talking to my colleagues. But I think the next step is most likely to move on further sanctions, and I think we need to take it from there.
Okay. Helen McEntee, Minister for Foreign Affairs, thanks very much for joining us.